Hey, everyone. My name is Michael Mapes, and I'd like to welcome you all back to our second show, From My Mind to Yours. As you all hopefully know by now, I'm a psychic medium. At 21, I'm one of the youngest practicing psychics in the world today. I'm a clairvoyant, which means that I see the future, clairaudient, which means that I hear the future, and I'm also a medium, which means a large part of my work is putting people in touch with their loved ones. My website is www.psychicmichael.com. From there, you can read all about my life, use our online forums or chat rooms, and you can also set up a reading with me. My readings typically run about 30 minutes, and there's no set format for a reading. In a reading, I can put you in touch with your loved ones, connect with your spirit guides and any higher beings that might be around you, as well as look into your future in more traditional areas, like love life, career, business, finances, etc. Tonight we have a very special guest, and I'm so excited that she decided to dedicate an hour of her time to talk with us tonight. We actually have my sister here tonight. As I mentioned on our last show, several members of my family are psychic, including my mom, my grandma, and my little brother, who's 6 years old. One member of my family, however, that isn't psychic is my sister, who's with us tonight. She's going to tell us a little bit about what it's like to grow up in a non-psychic family, or as a non-psychic in a psychic family. But before I get to her, I do again want to mention my Missing Person Project. This is a project that brings together four internationally renowned psychics, Carrie Schubert, Scott Christensen, Eva Herr, and myself. All of these psychics have experience working on missing persons cases. The website for this project is www.missingpersonproject.org. And basically the goal of the project is to help loved ones connect with their people missing in their lives. We work on criminal cases, and we also work on cases in which people have simply lost touch with a family member, or adoption cases in which people want to locate their biological parents but have been unable to through traditional means. There's also other resources on the site, like dealing with grief, and also sites that can help you find missing loved ones through more traditional means. Again, that website is www.missingpersonproject.org. That link is also on my site, which, as I mentioned before, is psychicmichael.com. It's a great project, and I hope that you'll tell your friends about it. Really let everyone know. It is a new project, but it's in full swing. We're really trying to get the word out there, and we already do have requests pouring in. So if you need our help with a missing person, please contact us. You can submit a case online. The website is very user-friendly. One side note on that, we do prefer only to work with families or with the police directly, as opposed to friends or friends of the family. This is because we're not comfortable working on cases in which the family doesn't consent, and it also means that the information we pass along is often sensitive and invaluable, which means that many people wouldn't want that information being told to just anyone. So, again, that's Missing Person Project. But now to our guest. Maggie, are you there?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you, Michael?
Pretty good. Are you excited to be here?
Yeah.
A little
kind
nervous?
Exciting. Yeah, a bit.
Well, I'm definitely excited that you decided to give us an hour of your time tonight, because I know our listeners are interested in what you have to say, but I'm also really interested in your perspective, you know, being less than psychic in a family that does have an emphasis on what it's like to be a psychic, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The first thing I wanted to ask you is, when is the first time that you knew that I was a psychic or had psychic ability?
Actually, I think the first time that we directly talked about it was at the beginning of this year, when you were just deciding to take a semester off from school, and we were just kind of casually discussing that, you mentioned that you wanted to write a book, and somewhat nonchalantly kind of mentioned, well, the premise of the book would be that I've decided that I'm going to develop my psychic abilities a little bit more. And that really, I mean, it wasn't that big of a deal. It was kind of...
One thing that surprised me about our conversation was that you almost, it seemed like you already knew a little bit.
I'm sure. Things in the past have kind of proven that there was kind of always something more under the surface that you maybe weren't comfortable sharing with us yet. So, I mean, it really wasn't that big of a surprise when you had originally told me.
And I just want to mention to all of our listeners, I'm 21. My sister's 3 years younger than me, and she's 18 now, which kind of freaks me out a little bit because I remember when we were so little. And then our younger brother is 6. So we have kind of a diverse age range. Now, like I was saying, Maggie, is that you, in our immediate family, you're the only person who doesn't have direct psychic ability, you know? And so could you just maybe describe for our listeners a little bit what it was like to be a non-psychic in a psychic family?
Well, I mean, I didn't really know in those terms, you know, non-psychic versus psychic when I was growing up, but it was, there was always some things going on, you know. It was a little bit harder to sneak around than your average teenager. I always, always, always got caught, as you remember, and I never really knew why. It just somehow happened that if I was going to try to lie, it would never work. And, I mean, I was kind of, you know, I didn't really know what was going on, and so it seemed like everyone in our family was somewhat unique, and this just kind of added to the...
Yeah, and one thing that I've actually mentioned before is how we all had a really close bond, but we never really had to speak our feelings out loud.
Mm-hmm.
We always just sort of seemed to know what everyone was feeling. Did you feel that growing up at all? Or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I specifically remember people observing. Especially when we were in high school, and you aren't very close with your siblings usually when you're growing up or going through your adolescent years, and how people would always comment on how close we were, and we never really knew why or what, but we could always kind of just know what each other was feeling or what each other was thinking.
Yeah, and I think that goes along with, you know, it's hard not to be intimate and to have a close relationship with someone when you are sharing so many of their feelings, you know?
Yep, definitely.
Now, I remember when I came back to take a semester off from school to work on my book and to really get everything that was going on in terms of my psychic career, in terms of, you know, my psychicness as an individual, if you will, together, that one of the biggest things that happened after my, you know, you finding out and the rest of our family finding out exactly what I was doing and what I was up to was that a lot of your friends and a lot of my friends, because we went to the same high school, started, you know, finding out that I was a psychic. And what did you find their response to that was?
Well, actually, kind of surprising, you know, coming from our location, which is a little bit more small and conservative, but a lot of my close friends were, you know, they were kind of surprised, and, I mean, you know, we were kind of the Meeps household. There was always something weird that, you know, going on with us. But as time kind of passed, and I'm sure as you realized, every time I would try to get friends together and we would decide to actually do things, every time we would decide where we were going to hang out, you know, is your brother home? Can we go talk to your brother? So it was just constantly always people wanting to come over and, you know, always having people want to come. And I'm sure as you remember, one of my close friends, the first time she came over and you actually gave her a reading, she, I mean, was crying and bawling, and it was so emotionally draining at times for me, one by one going through all of my friends, seeing them, you know, have this realization when in all reality I was like, well, I mean, I told you to begin with, you know.
Right.
What were you expecting?
Well, and I actually, you know, when I first really went public with my abilities, one of my major goals was to make sure that I was being specific and that I was being accurate. So something I did is anyone who was available, I'd give a reading for as a way to hone and test my abilities. And, you know, sometimes, unfortunately for you, or maybe fortunately in some respects, that the people I practiced on were you, Mom, and your friends.
Mm-hmm.
So you ended up getting in the middle of a lot of it, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, some of my other non-close friends or some of my associates, you know, at first kind of thought it was a joke or they didn't exactly know how to react. But, you know, as kind of the word spread, it was kind of undeniable in those instances when, you know, we would have people come over and people would watch and,
well,
you know,
and so, I mean, this goes back to a cultural problem that there's so many mixed signals and, you know, so many different types of psychics, so many different types of mediums, so much, you know, spiritualism, spirituality, and religionistic things going on right now that I think it's hard for people to really pin down what someone is doing. And like you said, we really did come from a more conservative small area where people had never been exposed to psychics, hadn't really been exposed to anything other than like traditional dogmatic religionistic thinking. So it definitely was hard at times to try to break out of those molds. And go ahead.
A lot of my friends would even confide in me about how, you know, they were kind of at somewhat of a religious battlefield because in some religions you're told this isn't true, this cannot be happening, but they, you know, you see, when you see it, you know, you can't deny
right, when it's put in front of you.
Something going on. Exactly. And so, you know, they didn't exactly know what to do, but a lot of the times, in all instances of my friends, actually, they kind of came around and were, they just, and not only did it make them more open-minded about the idea of psychics and mediums and afterlives, it just kind of opened their eyes in reality to a lot of different things that they never knew were happening.
Yeah, sort of expanded the boundaries of their consciousness a little bit.
Mm-hmm, exactly, yeah.
Well, and I think also there's so many frauds and there's so many fakes and people who are just out there to make money off other people's grief and other people's emotions that I do understand a certain degree of skepticism when it comes to psychics and when it comes to mediums, which was why my goal has always been, you know, when faced with skepticism, not to get angry, but rather just to prove that I can do what I say and that I can be effective in the work that I do. And I think, you know, for me, and you'll remember this, one thing that really proved that was one of the first personal appearances I did was to raise money for cancer. Mm-hmm. And I was astounded at the positive response that I got, even from our own community.
Yes, I do remember that. I remember people still asking me about you that I didn't know at school. I always knew that my friends knew, but I never knew that people around the area were actually talking about it until one of my friends approached me and said, oh, well, when is your brother going to be in town? Because my mom is really interested in seeing what he has because, you know, she's heard that he's actually been doing some really positive things.
Yeah, and it was because I remember, you know, before I would do a lot of things in our community that I would often express a lot of fear just about it because we didn't know how people were going to respond and we didn't know if people were going to be open-minded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's definitely a lot of fear related to, you know, really going out in the community, really getting, hands-on. But I think that's really what psychics and people, you know, anyone in their field has to do to make a difference is, you know, just plunge in head forward and slug through, you know, all the crap and hopefully reap some benefits down the road.
I mean, I think regardless of the environment of where we are or the culture that's around us, I think that most people are pretty logical in the fact that, you know, you have to see it to believe it. And a lot of these people did see it. And so it was really positive.
Right, yeah. No, I definitely had some good experiences in our community. So it made me just more comfortable because I felt if I can do that, then I can take on any crowd, you know.
Yeah, exactly, yep.
Well, we've kind of talked about some of the neat and some of the positive things that, you know, go along with having a psychic family, and maybe we can get come back to that in a little bit. But what are some of the downsides to growing up having a mom and two brothers that are psychics?
I think, as I mentioned before, I couldn't sneak out or do anything, you know, that some high schoolers are kind of expected to do, or even middle schoolers. Because
you couldn't get away with anything, basically.
Exactly. I always got caught, and I never knew why. And and as we talked about before, as soon as I found out, I would come home from work or whatever, and I would say something to you, and you'd say, oh, I already know. I know what you're going to say already,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. I don't really think there's anything negative. For a while, all my friends wanted to talk about was you. All my friends wanted to do was come over. And so, you know, it was just kind of repetitious for me who just saw, you know, it every day. And
that's something I actually didn't know until after the fact, that people actually were interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I was so busy, you know, promoting myself, also working another job, that I didn't really have a lot of time to gauge the response that I was getting. Now, one of the downsides, and this might embarrass you a little bit, but I'm going to mention it anyways, about being a psychic is that I remember if we would get in a fight or if you would annoy me, I'd give you kind of a negative prediction about the future, like, oh, that boyfriend won't last, or this friend is talking about you behind you.
Oh, exactly. I definitely remember instances where, you know, you're dating this kid, he's bad news, he'll do this to you, and a couple weeks later, oh, you know, I was cheated on, or, you know, something like that, just, you know, to kind of poke fun at me a little bit.
Yeah, and it wasn't
it
so
was
malicious as
time.
It just was, you know, a little arrogant, a little moody.
Yeah.
A problem our little brother also has, but.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that there's a lot of downsides. I mean, you know, having my friends always want to talk to you and stuff, it was good. You know, it was positive to be able to see the outcome. I mean, even, it was just repetitious. Even, you know, you for a while, all we talked about was, this is going on with this, you know, I
right.
was going to book and I'm
just because it had been hidden
website.
For so long.
Right, yep. Mm-hmm.
That when we, you know, when it really got out in the open, we started talking about it constantly and, you know, what impact it had. One of the downsides for me in terms of the family, though, was just the impact that it had on everyone else because, you know, if I really couldn't do what I was saying, you know, if I'd really lost my mind and was insane and, you know, crazy because not everybody hears voices and sees things other people don't, that, you know, would my family have to bear the brunt of that?
Mm-hmm.
And would, you know, if...
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and I understand, you know, in some instances, you're always going to have people that make comments about, oh, well, he's making that up, you know, it's not true. And, I mean, it doesn't, that doesn't bother me in the least, just because, you know, I have so many, I have just cushions and cushions of people that, you know, are behind you and behind, you know, what you're doing. And so it doesn't, you know, the average person around here or somebody poking fun or making comments is just basically irrelevant to me anymore.
Right. And, I mean, for me, that support network was really important, you know, knowing my, that my family was going to be there to back me up. And that's why, you know, especially at first, I tried to really, you know, when I mean, it's one thing to have random, you know, sort of isolated psychic experiences that, you know, a lot of people in our family have had, but it's another thing to full-time be in the community, to be giving readings, to be doing radio shows and interviews and, you know, personal appearances.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for me, I really appreciated that support network because, you know, it does take a lot of courage and it does take a lot of support, you know, to know that even if you fall flat on your face, that you're still going to have people around you that love you and that care about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think one of the biggest things I tried to do, you know, especially when you first kind of found out that I was taking my gifts and my abilities more public, was to make sure that, you know, you had a strong belief and to let you know that I would prove it to you and I would demonstrate my abilities to you and I would, you know, be specific and accurate and effective.
Mm-hmm.
I was just kind of wondering if you thought I did a decent job of that or...
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. You're just, I mean, I don't know, just like we, you know, we talked about earlier, we just kind of always had this bond and closeness that was never really explainable. And so even when you first told me, there wasn't really a, you know, I need to have some logical proof or base, because I knew that you wouldn't have told me and you wouldn't have discussed it with me unless you were serious about it.
And there's also a downside to having a close bond like that, too, because I mentioned this on my last show, but a lot of times if I feel someone's lying to me, I know almost immediately, and my feelings just get hurt. So
mm-hmm.
I'd rather people just be honest with me and hurt me a little bit than lie to me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is also maybe just one of the downsides of the way that my psychic ability and that my gift work. Maggie, are you there?
Yep.
Okay, welcome back. Technical difficulties.
Yeah.
For everyone, if anyone just tuned in, my name is Michael Mapes. I'm a psychic medium, one of the youngest in the world. Tonight we're taking calls, and we're also talking with my sister, who's a non-psychic, and kind of giving everyone some perspective on what it's like to grow up around a psychic. So welcome back, Maggie. Sorry about that.
No problem.
We've had a lot of people calling in, so so hopefully we'll get some of them on the air.
Michael, this thing's been going off the hook incessantly. Would you like to speak with Grace?
Yeah, definitely.
I'll put her through.
Grace?
Yeah. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good, good. Did you have a question tonight? Or?
Yeah, I did. I want to know what my husband would be like.
What your husband will be like?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that he's actually going to be shorter, about 5'7", 5'8".
Okay.
I think that he's going to have darker complected skin, darker hair, and also darker eyes, and really strong hands, too. I feel like he works indoors, sort of more of a corporate setting.
Okay.
So that's what I think he's going to look like, yeah.
Okay, and when will I get married?
I think that you're going to get married in 2 years.
In 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what would be my career like?
Yeah, I think you're going to be in the medical field.
I'm sorry?
I think that eventually you're going to get in the medical field.
Oh, okay.
You know, like health planning, stuff like that.
Okay.
And I also think that eventually you sort of lead up some specialized teams in your area, so you have feels like you have some people under you. And then I think eventually that you do some writing.
Oh, that's great.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Anything else?
Yeah, and I would like to know what part of the United States will I be settling down?
The West Coast.
The West Coast?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Are you still there, Maggie?
Yep.
Why don't you go ahead and give everyone, our listeners, the call-in numbers?
Okay, in the United States, toll-free, it's 888-268-4313. And for international callers, it is 281-419-7697.
All right, and you can call in any time. If you have a comment for me, a question for Maggie, well, you know, what it was like growing up. And, you know, I don't mean to make you, I'm not trying to make you sound like a freak by saying non-psychic, because we have a lot of people in our family that aren't psychic, you know. But this show is dedicated to talking about psychics, so maybe you feel a little bit on the outside, but all experiences are valuable. And I actually think our mom did a really good job of making, you know, everyone in the family feel important.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, really saying, you know, Michael, you're good at this, but Maggie, you're good at this and this, you know. So I don't really think that, you know, I didn't really feel better based on anything, you know, mom or dad did, you know, growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And always, would you agree with that? Or?
Michael, we have a Julie online. Would you like me to put him through?
Sure.
Okay.
Hello? Hello?
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Doing good. Some readings, chatting with my sister a little bit.
That would be pretty interesting to have a psychic for a brother. That would be interesting to have a psychic for a brother.
Yeah, it's very interesting, actually. Always something new.
Yeah,
well,
most people have football players or... But did you have a question tonight? Or?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I put in my notice to quit my job, and tomorrow's my last day, and I'm sort of flying by the seat of my pants. So I was hoping maybe there was some good news coming for me.
Yeah. Well, the first thing is that I do feel that the getting away from the old job is kind of a positive move for you, just because it feels to me like you're getting a little stagnant. You really need something new to sort of spice up your life. In a sense, and also feels like there was some sort of negative energy in the workplace where you were.
Yeah.
Just in terms of, you know, gossip, and it just felt like it wasn't stable and you didn't feel happy or comfortable going there.
Right.
Which just seems to me, you know, some people can go to their horrible jobs every day and get through, but I'm not like that. You know, it doesn't feel to me like you really are. You need to feel stable and happy.
Right.
At a place where you're working. A couple of things for the future. Now, are you looking for another job?
Yeah, it was interesting because when I turned in my letter of resignation,
mm-hmm.
that very same day I got a call from a headhunter about a job, but I haven't heard back from her yet. She was supposed to forward my resume, so I don't know if anything will pan out with that, or hopefully something will come along.
Well, a couple of things. First is that I do think that you're going to be employed before the end of the year.
Great.
Which is good. Secondly, is that I do want to caution you against just taking any job. I want to make sure that when you take it, it's really what you want. And I feel like you've sort of committed to that already, that it needs to be happy. But I really want that to be a focus. Third, I think you're going to hear back from this person in the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I think that ultimately there will be a job out of it. But I feel like there's going to be two or three options that you have.
Oh, good.
So
it was interesting because I had sort of a strange experience. It was during the night when I was sleeping, and I could hear myself repeating, "I am magnetizing the perfect job for me," or something like that, and I was, like, repeating that over and over. So that's kind of interesting because I wasn't aware of ever doing that before, so I thought, maybe I'm going to a little sleep time work.
Yeah, and I definitely feel like where you were and where you will be, that where you will be is much happier.
Oh, great.
Would
it be all right if I ask about, like, spiritual experiences or anything like that?
Well, I didn't catch that. What was that?
Spiritual experiences or anything, like, significant?
Coming up in your life?
Yeah.
Well, one thing is I do feel like there's sort of been this process with you, it seems like for the last 6 or 7 months, in which you've sort of been, like, really reading some new things, questioning some things, and sort of, you know, taking some new beliefs and substituting your old ones and sort of changing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I do really feel that next year is sort of what I call a year of clearing, a year of clarity, because it feels like things really become, you know, revealed to you. And it's not so much, you know, we all want to see, you know, God materializing before us. But I think the experiences are often a lot more subtle. And
mm-hmm.
so while I think next year there won't be a certain day or a certain week or month that you can point to that really said, this is what made me a spiritual person, this is what made me a stable person, I do feel by the end of the year you'll find yourself at almost a completely different place.
Wow.
In terms of spirituality. So basically my advice to you would just be, you know, never stop searching. Read everything that you can get your hands on.
That's wonderful. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. You
oh,
guys
you're
have
welcome.
A great
Thanks
night.
For calling in and listening.
Thank you.
Have a good
Bye-bye.
Night. Maggie?
Yeah.
Sorry for making you hang on so long there.
That's no problem.
Now, we have sort of alluded to this before, but our little brother's 6 years old now in first grade. And he does have, I talked about psychic children last time, he is stubborn and moody and a little arrogant at times. And you've actually shared a funny story with me before the show, and I was wondering if you could talk about that now.
Yeah, yes, he's probably one of the most stubborn and moody children I've ever met in my entire life for a six-year-old boy. But there's actually an incident in particular that is somewhat amusing to me. And it was, I'm a waitress, and so he kind of has a way of taking my money. For example, tonight he ripped up a $20 bill for no apparent reason, stealing my money and things like that. And so finally I was like, I'm going to take all the money I make tonight, and I'm going to hide it in...
Michael, we have a Sinai online for you. Would you like me to put her through?
Yes.
Okay.
Hello?
Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I have a quick question for you.
Okay, great.
I'm trying for an internship.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think I'll be getting it?
Yeah, next year, though.
Next year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I already have a boyfriend. Like, I've been dating for 5 years.
Right.
So will I marry him?
I actually don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay, and he's trying to come to U.S.?
Mm-hmm.
Next year, so will that be done?
Yeah, it seems to me around May.
Around May.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and will he have a good job here in U.S.?
Yeah, I mean, he's the type of person, he's not going to settle for anything less than a good job.
Oh, he's going to get a good job, you mean?
Yeah, he will.
Okay, and which
what I'm
part...
saying is he's the type of person, he won't settle for anything less than a good job.
Oh, he won't settle.
Right, he pushes himself too hard.
Oh, and where will I settle? In the U.S.?
It feels to me more northeast region.
Oh, okay. And when will I...
Oh, go
okay,
ahead.
I'm trying for... Oh, I think... Oh, I have a sister, younger sister.
Right.
And she's been having some illness, mental illness.
Uh-huh.
Like schizophrenic.
Right. There's also some depression with her, too.
Sorry?
There's also some depression going on with her.
Yeah, she says... So do you think she'll have a normal life when she gets married? And
I do. It feels like they haven't found the right medication for her yet.
Okay.
Because it feels to me that they haven't, because I don't think they're looking at the depression part of what she's going through enough right now.
Okay.
It seems they're more focused on, and so it feels like there's going to be almost like a combination of medicines that she eventually needs to get on, but I do think they'll eventually find them. But just really encourage doctors to keep testing and let them know what you feel is working and what isn't. And also encourage them to focus on the depression part of what she's going through.
Oh, okay.
And tell them to get some mood-stabilizing drugs for that.
Okay. And I'm so upset about my boyfriend.
We do have a lot of callers
for 5 years.
So.
Sorry?
We have a lot more people trying to get through, so.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to have to let you go.
Thank you.
But if you want to get
Bye-bye.
A full reading, psychicmichael.com. Thanks for calling in. Okay, Maggie.
Hi.
Hi. Back to your story about Ethan.
Yes.
You were saying how you finally hid the money because he kept taking it from you.
Oh, yes. And just in a random desk drawer that, I don't actually use. And
mm-hmm.
We were sitting in the living room, and we went down into the hallway where our rooms are located, and lo and behold, he came out holding the money, giggling to himself about how funny he was that he had found the money. And I have no idea how.
And that's interesting to me because always one of my biggest weaknesses as a psychic has been locating lost objects. And so that seems to be one of his strengths, which is, I talked about this before, how all of our gifts work a little bit differently in our family. Nobody has the exact same strengths and the exact same weaknesses, My strengths are more helping people connect with their loved ones. And, Ethan is so young that we're still really curious about the direction his gifts could take,
Mm-hmm.
But, no, it's interesting. We're definitely seeing signs, and that's really exciting at 6 years old to be able to, outwit you. Even though I'm sure you've had more than your fair share of psychics outwitting you.
That's very true.
So you actually, when I first started talking about being a psychic, you were actually the person who sort of broke the news to a lot of other family members that weren't in our immediate family. Mm-hmm. And you sort of became the mediator between me and everyone else. Can you, like, talk about what that was like a little bit, having to sort of be the middle person?
I mean, a lot of it was soothing people's feelings and kind of just smoothing things over that had been already talked about. And I think a lot of the time with people of our family who might have been a little skeptical or had religious beliefs that they might have been worried about, just kind of wanted a neutral person to step in and kind of give correct information and kind of give my opinion on how it actually worked. And I mean, I didn't mind at all. It was, you know, something that needed to get done in order, you know, to move on from the skepticism. And so,
well, and I think what made you the perfect person to do this was that you were able to sort of give a perspective from a non-psychic point of view,
mm-hmm.
from a view that they could relate to more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because a lot of people in our family, even though they do have some psychic ability, have completely repressed and aren't willing to come to terms with it for religion, a lot of religionistic reasons, you know.
Yeah, yep, exactly, yep.
And so I was just wondering if you sort of shared that process of, I understand where you're coming from, this is where I went through, and this is what I concluded with them.
And, I mean, a lot of the mediation that occurred was about, you know, because they hadn't actually seen you, you know, give reading
right.
or give any type of accurate information. So a lot of it was, you know, from my own point of view, actually visually seeing it and being able to experience it myself. I mean, the things that you've told me and whatnot.
Right, and a lot of our family members didn't even know until I was full swing into it, had been writing, you know, in my book for a while, had done
mm-hmm.
some pretty major radio shows, had done some public appearances.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, we, you know, you were sort of able to go to them and say, well, you know, read this interview and listen to this radio show and, you know, sort of establish a relationship with his psychic ability and his gift, you know, so that you sort of understand where he's coming from a little bit. And I appreciated that process because it made it easier for me and more comfortable for me then to be able to talk about my experiences and talk about my gifts with the rest of my family, which is something, as you know, that I had a major problem doing early on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had trouble even talking to our mom about it, who is a psychic and who, while hasn't chosen to pursue that part of her life in its entirety, definitely is very gifted and has, you know, more than once proven that she, you know, is a talented psychic.
Yeah, that's definitely true, yeah.
So, which brings me to, you know, another interesting topic, which is that the atmosphere in our family is much different now than it used to be in terms of how open we are about our gifts and our abilities. I was wondering if you could sort of describe the atmosphere before and, you know, compare it and contrast a little bit to now.
I think to me that there was kind of stages in what had happened. When you first had told me and hadn't told anyone else,
mm-hmm.
It was kind of difficult because I didn't exactly know how much you wanted me to, share or talk about it with you. But as soon as, you know, people in our immediate family started to discuss it, you know, some people were kind of a little skeptical because of religious beliefs. But, I mean, from the very beginning, I think that our mom was really accepting about it, wasn't really all that surprised, actually, to find out about it in the least. And
right.
I think over time, as it kind of went on, after you had gone back to college, I think a lot of, I don't think that there's any skepticism anywhere in our family right now, and
mm-hmm.
just overall, it's talked about so much more. I mean, just tonight, Mom and I were discussing it quite a bit, whereas before, you know, it was kind of like a sticky subject that we weren't exactly sure what all should be said or, you know, if it was comfortable.
Well, and I actually remember the first time that I, you know, talked to Mom about it, we were walking in Walmart, and I said, you know, I have to tell you something, and sort of went into this confession and, you know, was really scared of her response. And at the end of it, she just sort of, like, gave me, like, a playful punch and was like, I know.
Yeah.
You know, completely mm-hmm. unsurprised, completely unangry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I think in my head I had worked up, you know, that there would be a negative response to it and that there wouldn't be a positive acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
So it made it a lot harder.
I don't think there was any negativity in our immediate family at all. I think it was just the difference that I mostly noticed is the openness about how much we talk about it.
Right.
And, you know,
and that was a lot from just uncertainty,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not understanding and not. And I think really, you know, it's almost like one person started to talk about it and then other people would come forward with their experiences and their experiences and their experiences, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you do want to call in, if you have a comment for Maggie or a question for me, I don't think Maggie would like me having her give psychic readings. You can call us toll-free in the U.S. It's 888-268-4313. That's 888-268-4313. Or for our international listeners, the number is 281-419-7697. You can get a free on-air reading. If you don't manage to catch me on the air, Maggie, can you tell them where they can reach me at?
PsychicMichael.com.
Yep, short and sweet. Or if you'd like to call to set up an appointment, my number is 712-540-5450. My website really does have a lot on it. It has all my predictions for the year, and it also validates and updates them, you know, as they come true. And you can also get your own private reading with me there. Readings are around 30 minutes, although there's no strict time limit. And I've actually developed my own unique approach to giving readings, and there's all that information and a lot of other resources on my website. So even if you're not looking for a private consultation, there's definitely a lot of other resources that can connect you with some pretty interesting sites and also provide you with some insight into some dark parts of your life. Now, one thing I know that I'm incredibly curious about, and something I really haven't asked you about before, is have you had any psychic experiences?
That would be no. I mean, I think that even if, you know, I would have experiences that maybe you could consider psychic, I think it's just luck. I mean, I have no, you know, whenever you talk about, you know, the feelings that you get or just kind of how you know, that never has ever happened to me, and which I'm fine with, but no, I think I got the short end of the stick on that.
Yeah, well, I know a running joke in our family is that you're a psychic as a rock.
Yep, I am definitely psychic as a rock.
But that's great to me too, because it's just like it really does illustrate and highlight the diversity in our family. Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the jokes I've always made is that you're smarter at me, you know, better at sports and more popular. So the only card that I have left to play is the psychic card. And I know
I
I've told
that's
you
all true.
And I know I've told you that more than once, you know. That really you know, even though you haven't had psychic experiences, it doesn't mean that experiences in your life haven't been valuable. And I think
Well,
and one of the things I think is that because you have been so immediately and directly exposed to, you know, the other side, to the spirit world, to what it means to be a psychic and what it is to live as a psychic, that if you did have psychic experiences, you would take them for what they are and wouldn't be skeptical and wouldn't, mm-hmm. you know, question them. You wouldn't be surprised by them.
Yep, exactly.
Would you say that's true, or?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I think it's so beneficial for everyone, even if they don't believe in the idea of psychics, to just be aware of, you know, the belief of, you know, the afterworld, the afterlife, and whatnot, and kind of.
Right, and so many people, I think, have a negative experience with a psychic, and then won't go back. But really, as we were kind of talking about forest readings of your friends, when you get a reading with a good psychic and a psychic who really connects to you and, you know, everyone around you who's, you know, crossed over, that it really is a much different experience.
Yeah, it's definitely an eye-opener. Yeah,
right.
It's usually a really emotional experience, which makes it, you know, that much more powerful.
Right. And one thing a lot of psychics talk about, and I actually agree, is it's a lot harder to read for your close friends and family, simply because you want to be able to tell them what they want to hear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and I mean, that's why usually I don't necessarily push for you to give me readings. I know that sometimes you tell me tidbits here and there that aren't that substantial, but, you know, I can definitely understand that sometimes you have to tell people that they don't want to hear, and it's hard, you know.
Right, and that was actually something growing up that I really struggled with, is because the information wasn't all fluff and loveliness. You know, there was a lot of negativity to the things that I would see and the things that I would hear and the visions that I would get, so...
Mm-hmm.
It's something, and I know Mom gets under this too, but I do really try to remove my gift from the family,
mm-hmm.
simply because I don't want to be in a position where I have to give horrible news to people in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons why, actually, you know, you don't notice that big of a difference growing up in a psychic or non-psychic family, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Just because we do maintain a certain level of respect for one another. Now, that's not to say I don't warn you if I think something bad is going to happen, or...
I mean, I don't mind all that much, because it kind of, I mean, on some level makes me a little bit more independent to not always run and ask you for things. I think some
right.
people assume that because, you know, I have a very talented psychic in my family that, you know, every time I have a question about life or something, I can run to you, when in all reality, you know, it's a lot about figuring things out on my own.
Right. I mean, everybody has to slug through the hard parts of life.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I also think that, you know, firsthand, it is a lot of work, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not all, you know, it's not always easy. Can you? We only have about 10 minutes left. Can you give our callers the call-in number one more time?
Yeah, sure. In the United States, toll-free, it's 888-268-4313. And for international callers, it's 281-419-7697.
So if you do want to call in, it's your last chance to ask any questions of Maggie or to get a psychic question answered by me. You can get a free on-air reading with me, and you can get a question or two answered, get a little bit of insight into your life. Or, you know, maybe you have a spiritual experience or a spiritual event in your life that you'd like to see what Maggie has to say about, you know, get her take on it from, you know, sort of a non-psychic, a non-medium perspective. Now, one of the things I was also thinking about, Maggie, was the Trevor experience. And you're laughing, and I understand why, because this was actually one of Maggie's friends that I gave, you know, one of the first readings to.
Mm-hmm.
And it was bizarre, because one of the first things that I picked up on was that he had a lot of, I don't know how to put it, but a lot of affection for Maggie.
Yes, Trevor was, I don't even know how to respond to that.
And well, and I mean, the message that I got is that they would definitely make a good couple and were very compatible with each other, and which Maggie didn't exactly like at the time, because she was interested in someone else and didn't want him getting his hopes up.
Yes, it wasn't reciprocated at the time.
What was that?
When I that feeling for Trevor, but I do remember, you know, as time passed, and every time I would talk to you, and, you know, as Trevor and I started to come closer, you would kind of laugh in my face about, you know.
Right. And that was actually one of the experiences that, for me, made me say, hey, maybe I need to be a little bit more removed so that, you know, I'm not compromised. And, I mean, we laugh about it now, but
mm-hmm.
at the time it was a fairly emotionally charged situation.
Yep, exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's, you know, kind of goes back to what we were before. There were a lot of really emotional high stress conversations and readings that I did with a lot of people who were close to you, you know, and you were the person that, you know, they went to after the readings for support and a little bit of understanding.
And I mean, I was always, I tried to be a little bit removed from when you were giving readings, just because I didn't know, you know, there's always layers of yourself that you don't tell people about. And so I was always kind of, you know, tried to be a little bit respectful about how much information my friends actually wanted me to know about them.
Right, and not bringing up, you know, the really personal, emotional levels of the reading, you know, that they weren't comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and we know, Trevor, and we joke about this now, but, you know, mm-hmm. for a lot of people, they wouldn't be comfortable having their experience talked about.
Yep, exactly.
Simply because there were, you know, very intimate details, you know, and a lot of things that they didn't even know at the time, but had come back later
mm-hmm. yeah.
and said, you know, you said this and this is true.
Mm-hmm. That's very true, yeah.
And that's, you know, that's also one of the most rewarding things for me, is getting those client letters, getting those validations after the fact,
mm-hmm.
you know, or having people disagree with you initially, you know, and then you get a letter or a call 2 weeks later that said, oh, I just wanted to apologize, you know, it turns out you were right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly, yep.
And, oh, go ahead.
No.
And I think also that, you know, goes where a little bit, especially with younger children, that, you know, where the arrogance factor comes from.
Yeah.
because it is, you know, it is knowing what's going to happen.
Yep. Exactly.
And I mean, just kind of like you said with Ethan, you know, knowing exactly where in your room to go to find that
$20. Mm-hmm.
Now, didn't he actually end up going and buying a toy with that
$20? Yes. Uh-huh. So I think that's kind of what had happened with, yeah, he wanted a lightsaber for his Darth Vader costume
for Halloween.
So my mother wouldn't buy it for him, and so, you know, the good old sister just steal the money from her.
Right. So Ethan at six figures out, well, I'm too young to get a job, but I'm not too young to take money that's lying around.
Not lying around. Money that's hidden from
true,
me.
Money that's hidden in the furthest corners of, you know, Maggie's room.
Exactly.
Very interesting.
Michael, we have a Paul from New York. Shall I put him through?
Yes.
Okay. One moment.
Paul?
Yeah, hello, Michael.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay. Yeah, I like your show. I like the little touch that you have having your sister on there. It gives it a real personal touch, and it's nice learning a little bit more and getting more personal with you and your family.
Yeah, I know a lot of shows I've done in the past, I seem a little bit removed, but I'm hoping to use this show to really, you know, give my listeners more of an intimate side. And I'm sure Maggie would tell you that, you don't always want to see all the intimate sides of me.
Yeah, but it's nice. It gives it an intimate touch, and I think it's very nice.
Yeah, she's seen the worst and she's seen the best, so, you know, if you have any questions about me, she's your girl.
Yeah. Well, I do have a question that I do want to ask you, and it's about a friend of mine.
Okay.
Anyway, I have a friend in California, and we call him JT,
mm-hmm.
and he's had some bad bouts the past month or so, and he has a problem with his hip. He had to have some surgery there, and also just recently, the past couple of days, he got hit in the eye. And they're not sure about that either. So I was just wondering how his healing was going to be on those two things.
Well, first off with him, I feel like the bad bouts, in terms of his life, started a lot longer than a month ago. And I just feel that this month has been particularly bad. But I do feel that he doesn't have a strong support network as he needed. So really being for them is going to be an important part of it. Now, in terms of the eye, I think initially that the situation gets worse and deteriorates because I don't feel like they knew exactly what the problem is right now. And I also feel like that he's going to have to be on some pretty strong pain medication if he isn't already. Now, I do think that condition, I don't feel like he's going to die from either of these conditions, by the way. But I do think that condition gets worse in the short term before improving. And as far as the hip goes, it does feel like that's fairly painful for him, and it feels like that pain is going to continue, although I do think that he's able to manage it and able to handle it. But I think the best thing that you can do right now as a friend is really just be there for him, because I feel like he does need a strong support network, and that in large parts of his past, he hasn't had a support network.
Okay, so it's just a little bit hard to hear you because of the phone that I'm on.
Okay.
But all right, so do you think that the hip is going to get better and he's going to be able to walk or no?
I don't see walking for a while.
For a while?
A while, but eventually, yes.
Eventually, yes. Okay, and with the eye, I mean, do you think that's going to get better eventually or no?
Well, I don't know. Has he lost vision in it?
Partially for now. It just happened like 2 days ago, so...
Well, I don't really see his vision improving in that eye.
Uh-huh.
Very much.
Do you see it getting any worse?
I see a little bit worse in the short term, but I don't think he loses full sight.
All right, so he's probably going to have partial vision or something.
Partial vision impairment, right.
Yeah, okay.
I don't have better news.
Yeah. Well, it's better than nothing, I guess, you know?
Well, and you know what? He's a fighter, and he's going to get through it and be a lot better for even the hard things.
Uh-huh.
So, really what I say to you is just be there for him, you know, because he's definitely going to need friends.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, and like I said, I think there's large parts of his past where he's missed out on a good support network.
Yeah, he has a couple friends, but yes, he does definitely need a better support network, sure.
Well, and a lot of those friends aren't as reliable as they should be. And, I feel there's, like, some negative energy and negative influences around him, too, so.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of interpersonal relationships, but no, thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening. I appreciate
okay.
your compliments.
Sure. Thank you.
Yep. All right. Maggie, are you still there?
Yep.
Okay. Well, we're out of time.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want to say thank you for coming on. It's a big favor to me. I'm sure our listeners enjoyed it.
That's no problem.
And I'll have to have you back in the future.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Michael.
All right, thank you. Bye, Maggie.
Bye.
Again, you've been listening to From My Mind to Yours. I am Michael Mapes, an internationally known psychic medium. Our time is up. My website is www.psychicmichael.com. From there, you can get a personal reading from me, or if you have any questions about a reading or any questions about the show tonight, or you want to ask a question of Maggie, go ahead and send me an email at michael@psychicmichael.com. Thanks all for listening so much tonight, and I hope that you'll tune in next week on My Mind, From My Mind to Yours, from 8 to 9 Central Time. Bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.